Imagine freezing in terror at the sight of a rattlesnake, your heart racing before your mind even registers danger. This disconnect between our automatic bodily responses and conscious feelings forms the cornerstone of Joseph Ledoux's groundbreaking work on fear and anxiety. For decades, scientists made a fundamental error, using the same term to describe both a rat's freezing behavior and a human's conscious feeling of fear. This conflation has led us astray in understanding and treating anxiety disorders affecting over 40 million Americans. The revolutionary insight? What we call fear actually involves two separate processes: non-conscious defensive responses controlled by survival circuits, and the conscious feeling that emerges when we become aware of danger. This distinction isn't merely academic. It transforms how we understand what makes us afraid and how we might overcome it. The amygdala, often called the brain's fear center, doesn't generate feelings directly, but rapidly detects potential threats and coordinates defensive responses, sometimes before we're consciously aware of danger. This explains why you might jump away from a speeding car before recognizing the threat. All living creatures must detect and respond to dangers to survive. In mammals, this defensive system centers on the amygdala, an almond-shaped structure that processes potential threats and coordinates appropriate responses. When a neutral stimulus, like seeing a dog, becomes paired with harm, being bitten, neurons in the lateral amygdala undergo chemical changes that strengthen connections, the neural basis of once bitten, twice shy. This learning can occur after just one significant incident, explaining why traumatic experiences have such lasting effects. The amygdala orchestrates multiple parallel responses: freezing behavior through connections to the periaqueductal gray, cardiovascular changes via the lateral hypothalamus, and hormonal cascades through the paraventricular hypothalamus. It also serves as a central alarm system, regulating brainwide arousal by activating specialized neurons that release neuromodulators throughout the brain. Meanwhile, the prefrontal cortex acts as a regulatory brake on the amygdala's accelerator, helping to control defensive reactions when the context indicates safety. This defensive circuitry operates largely without conscious awareness, processing threat information and initiating responses before conscious perception occurs. What makes human fear unique isn't our defensive responses, it's consciousness. Ledoux distinguishes between creature consciousness, being awake and alert, and mental state consciousness, awareness of one's experiences. While all animals possess the former, the latter, awareness of a state occurring and understanding its content, may be uniquely human. Working memory temporarily maintains and manipulates information, enabling integration across time and sensory modalities, connecting current experiences with memories and predictions. Higher-order theories propose consciousness requires two steps: a first-order representation, unconscious, and a higher-order representation that makes the first-order content conscious. For example, seeing a snake involves first-order visual processing, but becoming aware of seeing it requires higher-order processing. Attention acts as the gateway to consciousness by selecting which information becomes conscious, explaining why threatening stimuli like spiders or angry faces are often detected faster than neutral objects. Your emotional experiences are uniquely personal, shaped by your memories and identity. When facing threats, your brain activates both defensive circuits and complex associative networks, episodic memories, semantic knowledge, and anticipated consequences. Psychologist Endel Talving distinguished between semantic memory, factual information, and episodic memory, personal experiences. Episodic memories integrate what, where, and when into unified personal experiences, enabling mental time travel to past and future events. This self-consciousness connects your current self with your remembered past and projected future, creating your personal narrative. When encountering a snake on a forest path, defensive circuits trigger automatic responses while simultaneously activating conscious knowledge about venomous snakes and personal fears. The physical reactions, racing heart, freezing, become objects of conscious awareness, contributing to your evolving feeling of fear in working memory. Fear and anxiety emerge in consciousness like flavors in soup through psychological construction. Working memory acts as the pot where intrinsically non-emotional components combine to create feelings. Different ingredients or varying amounts produce differences between emotions. Fear emerges from several key ingredients: a representation of a sensory object, defensive survival circuit activation triggering physiological responses, attention/working memory processes, semantic memory enabling threat assessment, and episodic memory creating self-consciousness. The amygdala enhances this process by increasing brain arousal, grabbing attention, boosting sensory processing of threats, and facilitating memory retrieval. As these aspects build up in consciousness, we recognize them as fear through pattern completion, labeling the state according to cognitive templates. Whether we feel concerned, alarm, fright, panic, or terror depends on the particular blend of ingredients and their interpretation. Anxiety follows a similar construction process, but often involves uncertainty about when or if harm will occur. Unlike fear, anxiety frequently involves the bed nucleus of the stria terminalis, rather than just the amygdala, and it can arise from existential concerns that involve abstract concepts centered on the conscious self. Anxiety treatment research has traditionally viewed anxiety as a uniform state, controllable through pharmaceuticals and measurable via behavioral responses, erroneously equating physiological states with conscious feelings. This approach has yielded limited success despite massive investment. Benzodiazepines offer quick relief but come with significant drawbacks, including sedation, memory issues, and addiction risk. SSRIs help some patients but work slowly and cause withdrawal symptoms. Psychotherapy presents more promising alternatives, especially exposure therapy, which involves confronting feared situations to reduce anxiety through extinction learning. Recent advances have identified several ways to enhance extinction: maximizing expectancy violation, implementing deepened extinction by combining multiple extinguished threat stimuli, removing safety signals that interfere with learning, and conducting exposures across varied contexts. Memory reconsolidation offers another approach. This process makes memories temporarily modifiable when retrieved. Marie Monfils discovered that inserting brief breaks between extinction trials prevented fear memories from returning, allowing permanent updating of threat memories as safe rather than dangerous. Our capacity for mental time travel is both our greatest asset and liability. It enables us to craft self-narratives and plan for future challenges, but becomes problematic when fixated on potential threats. Anxious individuals constantly anticipate worst-case scenarios that rarely materialize, often believing their worry prevented disaster. This anxiety paradox perpetuates itself when people attribute non-occurrences to their vigilance rather than recognizing the event's inherent unlikelihood. The brain's neuroplasticity means anxiety isn't permanent. Despite challenges and changing patterns, especially for those with genetic predispositions or trauma histories, the brain can learn new responses through various interventions. Fear isn't a single emotion, but a complex interplay between ancient defensive circuits and sophisticated conscious processes. This understanding provides hope. We can regulate automatic defensive responses through techniques like controlled breathing, while reshaping conscious interpretations through cognitive approaches. The goal isn't eliminating fear, but understanding its components and navigating them skillfully. Our capacity to feel afraid connects directly to our ability to imagine futures, remember pasts, and construct our sense of self.